What is your all-time favorite hymn? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to vote for your favorite hymn. Send an email with your vote to hymnvote@issuesetc.org, and during the week of August 9th, we'll study the top five hymns chosen by Issues Etc. listeners. Voting ends July 25th. Vote today for your favorite hymn, hymnvote@issuesetc.org. A hymn for any time of the church year is fine. hymnvote@issuesetc.org.
I've met with leaders from America's religious communities, like Pastor Hybels. People of different faiths and beliefs, some liberal, some conservative, who nonetheless share a sense of urgency.
Again and again, we heard stories about the economic hopelessness that first drew them to this great country, and we heard about their current daily dilemma, living in an almost surreal state of limbo.
Political science professors found that when they looked at all the writings the founders used and relied on and quoted, they found 3,154 quotes. The most quoted source was the Bible. 34% of their quotes came out of the Bible.
One of the problems that evangelicals have is that they think that just quoting miscellaneous passages from the Bible makes a person a Christian. Nonsense!
Well, wow. A lot has transpired in the last 24 hours. It's been a whirlwind for me, and I'm not even in Houston, Texas, where the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is meeting in its 64th regular convention. Of course, monitoring it as much as I can, a fan of not only the way things are going, but also of church politics in general. It's kind of like a sport to me. I'll admit that. I don't know if I should be proud or not, but at least I'll admit that. Joining us here for the first few minutes of our Wednesday afternoon Issues, etc., Molly Ziegler-Hemingway for a live update from Houston, Texas, and the 64th Regular Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. After our conversation with Molly, we'll talk with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, spend some time discussing the overturning of the Defense of Marriage Act by a federal judge in Massachusetts. That happened last week. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours of the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or Twitter us at IssuesETC. A little later in this first hour, Dr. Cameron McKenzie will join us. We'll talk about the legacy of 16th century reformer, none other than Martin Luther. Then Carl Forsyth will join us of Americans United for Life. We'll talk about the blocking of Nebraska's abortion screening law. There's a law there in Nebraska, but a federal judge said no. And then, as we have the last couple days, we'll continue our daily series with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn, talking about Christ alone today, the modern theological attacks on the teaching of Christ alone. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a regular guest. She's a columnist for Christianity Today magazine, a contributor to GetReligion.org, and she joins us live from Houston, Texas, where she's reporting on the 64th Regular Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Molly, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Molly, yesterday Pastor Matt Harrison was elected by a pretty hefty margin to be the next president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. That followed the pretty sweeping approval, although by slim margins, of some pretty radical restructuring of the governance of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You've talked to people on both sides, especially after that presidential election. What did you discover?
Well, yeah, it's been a total change in the last day or so. The first few days of the convention seemed to be going completely in President Kishnick's in his way. He had been a big defender and proponent, in fact, the architect of the restructuring plan, which gives the presidency much more power. And after delegates narrowly voted to give the presidency that power, they then decided that they wanted that president to be someone else, which is Matt Harrison. He gave his first interview to you all yesterday. And what followed after that were some unbelievable sweeps out of office of the current administration that largely supports President Kishnick. And they have been replaced with people who are overwhelmingly supportive of confessional Lutheranism and a traditional Lutheran identity. It is truly amazing what has happened in the last day or so, and people are, I would say that the supporters of President Kishnick are shocked. They are a bit confused, and the proponents of Harrison and traditional Lutheran identity are elated. It's just been a complete turnaround in the last day.
Now, how are the delegates that you're speaking to explaining how they have voted on those office positions?
You know, the most of these well, first of all, yesterday was the Presidium vote, and that's the Council of Presidents, the first few vice presidents that govern the LCMS. And people there wanted a team that supported their new president. And what's interesting about that is President Kishnick had argued to the delegates for the last few days that what you really need to do is put into place a team that supports the president. And clearly, of course, he was envisioning possibly a different outcome there, but the delegates apparently listened, and they knew that they should put in people who are supportive of President Matt Harrison.
One of the things that I noticed was that these restructuring proposals that the convention is still dealing with, they are taking a lot of time to both be discussed and voted on. What's going on?
Well, and actually one of the delegates began the day by asking to allow that discussion. There have been periods of time where people just got frustrated with the length of debate and they would call the question, and that was happening more quickly through yesterday. At the beginning of today, I think it was a pastoral delegate stood up and talked about the importance of moving slowly and really considering whether these things are the right way to go. And you actually saw some lengthier discussion as people tried to work through the possible consequences, unintended and otherwise, of some of these streamlining changes.
Yesterday, after being elected by, I think, 54 to 45, Pastor Matt Harrison, President-elect Harrison, I should say now, was given a few minutes, as is tradition in our conventions, to address the assembly after that election. How would you summarize what he had to say, and what was generally the reaction of the delegates who heard it afterwards?
It's been interesting, actually, because it was, of course, a watershed moment, and there are people on both sides who are feeling very happy or very sad. But from the get-go, Pastor Harrison got up there and basically acknowledged that some people are not happy, and that he wants to work with them and lead not by coercion, but working toward unification, working toward unity in doctrine and practice. And he asked for forgiveness, and he forgave people, and he talked about the importance of our understanding of forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. And also it's worth pointing out that President Kishnick handled himself with absolute It was really striking. I can't imagine what it would be like to just be handed a defeat like he was handed. And he was gracious and very positive toward President-elect Matt Harrison. And so from that moment forward, there's actually been a move toward unity. You're seeing people who are the biggest proponents of President Kishnick talking about how they are going to strive to work with President-elect Matt Harrison. And we'll see if that remains. But everyone's seeming pretty positive down here.
Just before we came on the air, there was kind of another interesting sweep, although it seems less significant. In fact, in terms of the length that these people will be serving on the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's board of directors, especially the lay people, it's rather significant. What happened there?
Yeah, so there was we're dealing with all this restructuring, and so there people had thought that there would be elections for different boards and commissions, and all of that has been kind of thrown up in the air. But there were these important elections for board of directors, and what happened is I don't know how many people serve on the board total, but there were six slots open, four for laymen and two for pastoral, for pastors. And the four delegates that were the four people who were chosen to fill the layperson positions were all confessional Lutherans, so from that side of the aisle. And then only one of the people who was up for re-election retained office. That's Victor Belton, pastor from Georgia, and he is also a friend of President-elect Matt Harrison's. And then the new person filling the board of directors slot is Reverend Michael Cum. You might be familiar with him yourself.
I see him occasionally, yes.
And he is also a strong proponent of traditional Lutheran identity.
I should say, by the way, in interest of full disclosure, Pastor Cum is my senior pastor. I serve him as an assistant pastor, or serve the congregation as an assistant pastor, a good friend. And also, he is the voice of Issues, etc. He does our liners for us very graciously as well. So how would you characterize the proceedings of the convention so far in terms of what direction the delegates seem to want this church body, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, to go after this week?
Yeah, it's funny because there people going into convention said that, you know, you remember this, the LCMS convention delegates tend to act a bit schizophrenic sometimes. You know, they'll vote one way on one issue and another way on another. So this restructuring has been, you know, it's going through pretty much from top to bottom. But it's clear that they are absolutely adamant that there be a change in direction from some of what we've been going through the last 9 years, which, of course, has been terribly divisive for anyone who's familiar with your radio program or what's been happening in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And the encouragement of adoption of evangelical style and substance over Lutheran style and substance. And this has been an utter renunciation of that. And it's just almost a clean sweep across the board. People who care about traditional Lutheran understanding of doctrine and practice are winning the day here.
Finally, with only about 30 seconds, Molly, what's the biggest issue today either has happened or is slated to happen at the convention? About 30 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know about the rest of the day, but coming into today, I think people were really interested in Resolution 3-03, which would decide whether we continue to work on charity projects with the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, which has, you know, in the minds of a lot of delegates here, completely gone off the rails in terms of its doctrine. But we do a lot of work with them abroad on charity work, and the people who do that work here in our church body wanted that to continue. There is a resolution to sort of put some limits on that, and that did go down. People are willing to continue to do our charity work with that church body.
Molly Ziegler-Hemingway is a columnist for Christianity Today magazine. She's a contributor to GetReligion.org, and she joined us live from Houston, Texas, where the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is meeting in its 64th regular convention, and she will join us again in the course of our week. Molly, thank you so much.
Thanks again.
When we come back, we're going to turn to an issue that we dealt with last week as it happened. A federal judge in Massachusetts overturned the Defense of Marriage Act. We'll see what Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse has to say about that after this.
Sleeping all alone at the Holiday Hotel show makes the cowboy blue. But here I am in Houston, and I'm one day closer to you.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Lutheran Radio in Exile. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.